Thank you. Thank you, Sandra. Great to be here. Really good to see you all. As Sandra's intimated, we're coming to the end of our little sermon series now called Bless. Over the last 5 weeks, this is the fifth week, we've been exploring five key principles for living. Okay, five simple steps which will enable us to experience more of God's blessing in our lives, and to enable us to be a blessing to those around us. And each one of the five letters of the word bless represents a key principle, okay? And let's see who can remember the four we've had so far, okay? So use the chat function and let's see who's quickest on the draw. What's the first one? Begin with prayer, says Debbie Neal. Brilliant. Yes, Debbie's first in. Oh, lots of you have got it. Okay, excellent. Well done. Debbie was the first. Okay, begin with prayer. That's the first one. Okay, the second one. Listen. Oh, gosh, you're all there. You're all there with listen. Brilliant. Too many to see who was the first. Okay, third one. Eat. Well done. Debbie Neal is on it. Well done, Debbie. And then the fourth one last week, who can remember last week? Serve, says Helen Spate. Well done. Now, once you got going, you were really quick. Well done. That's it. Okay. So what is the fifth? Okay. What's the fifth letter? What's the second S stand for? Okay. I can hear you all guessing. Let's see. Helen Spate says share. Anybody else? Any other guesses for the fifth one? Story, says Diane. Diane's got it. Story. I think Diane's been cheating because she's had a little bit of a preview to this series. But anyway, yes, the fifth one is story. That's what the final S stands for. Story. I don't know about you, but I love a good story. I think we all do, don't we? We all love a good story because life itself is made up of stories. It's full of stories. We've grown up with them. Maybe you can remember sitting on your parents' knee or your grandparents' knee at bedtime, having a bedtime story when you were a little kid. Or maybe you remember sitting on the carpet at school, all gathered around your teacher as your teacher read you a story, the highlight of the school day. Or if you're a similar age to me, you're bound to remember this. Oh, not that one, Simon. There we go, Jack and Ori. Jack and who remembers Jack and Ori? What a highlight of children's TV that was back in the day when there were only three channels. Okay, yeah, all right. But here's the thing: stories are not just for kids, are they? We all love stories. Adults love stories too. I love watching a good film. Okay, maybe not that one. Maybe we'll have this one instead. There you go. Okay. I love watching a good film or reading a good book. This is a particularly good book, actually. It's about asylum seekers. Really good book if you get the chance to read it. Anyway, that's enough book plugs. But then there's all those fantastic soap operas on TV, aren't there? Like EastEnders, Coronation Street. And of course, because we're in Yorkshire, Emmerdale. Okay, we've got to mention Emmerdale. Stories are what makes those programs, okay? That's what they're all about, isn't it? People's real life stories. Because stories are powerful, aren't they? Stories are what shape the way we think about the world and the way we think about ourselves. And we all have a story. Each one of us has a story, the story of our life, the places we've been, the people we've loved, the people who've loved us, and the people who've treated us badly. Experiences we've had, whether they've been positive or negative, they all form part of our stories. And our stories shape the way we see the world, and they shape the way we see ourselves. So I wonder, as we begin this morning, what is your story? How does your story shape the way you see yourself and the world around you? The Samaritan woman that we've just met in our Bible reading this morning, she had a story, but it wasn't a good one. It was a story of shame. That's why she comes to collect water from the well in the middle of the day when the sun is at its hottest. Everyone else will go either at the beginning of the day or at the end of the day when it's cooler. And that's a social occasion. Okay, it's a time to catch up on the local gossip. And that's why this woman from Samaria. That's why she's going now, when she knows that other people won't be there, because they'll be taking shelter indoors from the scorching sun. She knows that if she goes in the middle of the day when the sun is at its hottest, she won't have to run the gauntlet of the knowing looks and the sly whispers of her neighbours. Why? Why is she so ashamed? Well, we find out as we read on. As she confesses to Jesus, she's been married 5 times, and now she's living with a man who is not her husband. Ah, we think so. Get it? She's sexually immoral, right? She's moving from one partner to the next, leaving a string of jilted husbands in her wake. That's the conclusion that most people in this culture anyway come to when they read this passage. And maybe you've heard sermons preached where that is what they've said about this woman. But it's almost certainly wrong. That's almost certainly isn't her story. Because in that culture, women didn't have the power. Men had the power. And so it was quite easy for a man to divorce his wife, but it was practically impossible for a woman to divorce her husband. So this picture we have of this woman who's just moving from one husband to the next, waiting to find the right one, is just not true. No. Probably it was that she was the one who'd been rejected time and time again. Or maybe she'd been widowed 5 times, leading her neighbours to conclude, she must be cursed. There's something wrong with this woman. All her husbands keep on dying. Either way, her story was one of disappointment, of broken dreams, of rejection. A story without hope. But then she meets Jesus. And all of a sudden, the direction of her story changes dramatically. It's the mother of all plot twists. We all love a good plot twist in a film or a book, don't we? This one trumps them all. You see, she thought her story was one of despair, of rejection, of shame. But Jesus had a different story for her life. If you knew who I am, he says, and I'm paraphrasing here, okay, bear with me. He says, if you know who I am, you'd ask me and I'd give you living water. Not the kind of water you drink, no, spiritual water. The kind that will quench that longing inside you that nothing else will touch. The kind that leads to eternal life. Eternal life. Jesus invites her into his story. And that moment he does that, everything changes. You see, that broken woman realizes that despite the pain and the brokenness of her past, she is known. She's known by God and she's loved by God. And so she can hold her head up high. And you know, Jesus has invited us into his story too, hasn't he? He invites you into his story because he came into the world as one of us. He lived a life of perfect obedience to God, his Father. He died on our place. A horrible, brutal, lonely death on that rough wooden cross to pay the price for our sin, for all the things that I've done wrong and all the things that you've done wrong. But then he rose back to life. And then he returned to his Father in heaven, where he reigns in glory. And one day he will return to put right all that is wrong in the world. Once and for all. And in doing all that, Jesus made it possible for us to come back to God and experience the joy of eternal life, life with him, surrounded by his love, now and forever. That's the story that he invites us into. He offers us the same living water that he offered that Samaritan woman at the well in Sychar. Life, life in all its fullness. Life under his loving rule, free from the power of sin and death, and part of his new creation. That glorious future which the whole world is longing for, groaning for, Paul says in Romans chapter 8. That's what he invites us into. And so, whatever the story of your life, Jesus, the Son of God, invites you to go deeper into his story. That's what he invites us into. To allow his story to become your story fully. And he's inviting each and every one of us to play our part in allowing other people to enter into his story as well, so that they can experience the blessing of eternal life, that living water that he offers to each person who'll come to him. And so how do we do that? That's what the last 4 weeks and this week are all about. Bless. It's all about bless. Begin with prayer. That's where it begins. We need to be those people who begin every day in the presence of God, seeking his direction and to be filled with his Spirit. Okay, praying for the people we're going to meet that day. Listen is the second one. L, listen. We need to listen to our neighbours. Listen to those people that we encounter on our front lines, day in, day out. Allow them to share their sorrows and their fears, their hopes and their dreams with us. Then thirdly, E, we eat. We need to make time to share a meal or even a coffee with someone so that we really get to know them. And they get to know us. You know, we're not suggesting that we need to do lots of extra things here. You know, we all eat every day, don't we? We all have at least one meal a day. And what if, as we're able to, once lockdown is over, you could take one of those meals, okay, and just invite somebody else to be part of it with you. Or as you go into the coffee shop, to Java Joe, or wherever you go, spend time with somebody there, just doing life with them. Because that's number three, eat. And then number four, S, serve. You know, as you get to know your neighbors better, as you get to know them, to listen to them, to spend time with them, you're going to discover ways that you can help them, ways that you can share God's love with them in practical ways. And you know, when you live that way, when you live that way of listening to people, eating with people and serving people, people notice. People see that there's something different about you and they'll want to know more. And you'll have the opportunity to share your story. That's the fifth S, the fifth letter, the second S, story. Share your story. A guy called Jeff Christofferson puts it this way. He says, those living in darkness cannot escape the contrasting light that illuminates God's kingdom. With living water before them, newly befriended neighbors suddenly find themselves thirsty for a drink they didn't know existed. You know, when the woman at the well met Jesus, she recognized something incredible, something special about him, something that she'd yearned for all her life. There was a quality about him, a presence, if you like. And she found it utterly compelling, irresistible. Jesus was saying things to her that at face value sounded like the words of a madman. I'll give you living water, which if you drink it, you'll never be thirsty again. I mean, if somebody said that to you down at the Broadway shopping centre, you'd think they were barmy, wouldn't you? But she didn't. She took what Jesus was saying seriously. She knew that he was saying something deep and profound that really mattered to her. She believed in him. When he talked about this living water, she knew she wanted it. Why? Because she recognized that there was something different about him. She suddenly found herself thirsty for a drink, which up until that point in her life, she hadn't known had existed. And that's because Jesus was himself filled with the Holy Spirit. He was animated by the Holy Spirit. And, you know, if you have surrendered your life to Jesus, the same Spirit who filled Jesus lives in you and wants to fill you. He wants to fill you with living water. And if you let him do that, other people will recognize his presence in you, and they'll find themselves thirsty for a drink that they hadn't known had existed. That's what we need to do. Be filled with living water ourselves in order that other people will recognize the presence of Jesus in us and be thirsty too. So how should we go about doing that? How should we go about sharing our story? Well, there are two great examples in the passage that we've been looking at this morning. The first example, obviously, is Jesus. Okay, Jesus is the first and the best example. And what happened? What do we learn from Jesus in this exchange? Well, here was a broken woman. A broken woman that everybody else looked down upon and was snidey about. And she was a Samaritan as well. Okay, Jesus was a respectable Jewish teacher. She was a Samaritan, as we read in the passage. Jews and Samaritans did not get on. And in fact, for a respectable Jewish man to talk to a Samaritan woman, and much more than that, a Samaritan woman whose lifestyle was called into question, whose very status was called into question, even by the people in her village. Wow, that's incredible. She was the last person on earth that a respectable Jewish rabbi should have spent his time with and spoken to, and certainly the last person he should have been listening to. But Jesus didn't care what other people thought, did he? He just loved her and treated her with dignity and respect. She'd probably not received that level of respect or been treated with dignity for years and years and years. And yet here's Jesus, the Almighty Son of God, who does just that. And as he spends time with her, Jesus allows the Holy Spirit to speak to him, to reveal to him things about her life and her situation. And then he gently and lovingly shared that word of knowledge with her. And that word of knowledge showed this poor woman that God knew her, that God saw her, that God loved her. And you know, in the same way, when we're talking to people, if we're listening, sometimes the Holy Spirit will give us words of knowledge too, things about them that we have no earthly way of knowing. And yet he will reveal something to us that if we share gently, respectfully, and lovingly with them, it can reveal to them that, first of all, God is real. And secondly, that he cares about them. He sees them, he cares about them, he loves them. And that can open the door for them to receive that living water for themselves. And you know, we can do the same. When we do that, when we listen to the Holy Spirit and share and treat people with dignity and respect and love and share any words of knowledge gently that the Lord might have given to us about them, we can then start to talk to people about the difference that Jesus has made in our life, the difference that knowing him has made. Because that's what the Samaritan woman did, wasn't it? She's the second example. What did she do when she discovered who Jesus was? We read that she ran back to her village and told her neighbors what had just happened to her, what she'd experienced. She invited them to come and see. Come and see, she said. She didn't have it all worked out. She just knew that she'd met somebody absolutely incredible, and she wanted her neighbors to meet him too. And you know, that's something that we can all do. We don't have to have all the answers. We don't have to have our faith completely nailed down and our theology utterly sorted. Thank goodness. No, we just need to be willing to tell people about Jesus, about what he's done in our lives, and then invite other people to come and see for themselves. Now, often when we think about doing that, we feel the weight of expectation. Oh no, what if I get it wrong? What if I say the wrong words? What if the person I'm talking to shuts the door or just knocks me down or whatever, just thinks that I'm stupid? What if they don't respond to the message and they walk away? Listen, we don't need to worry about any of that. Okay, we don't need to worry about how people are going to respond. It's not our job to convert anybody. No, only the Holy Spirit can do that. Our job, Jesus says, our job is simply to be his witnesses, to point people to him by the way we live our lives and the words that come out of our mouths. And that's it. That's all we have to do. We can leave him to do the rest. And so, why don't you, this coming week, why don't you ask the Lord for opportunities where you can gently share with people the good news of who Jesus is and what he's done in your life? And you know, when you do that, my experience anyway, and the experience I think of many other people here, is when you do that, not only will you bless other people, but you will be blessed as well. You know, Sandra said before, it was my birthday last week. I'm now another year older. I'm 46 years old. Would you believe it? I know. I don't look it. I look 56. I know that, all that sort of stuff. But listen, in my 46 years, okay, my 46 trips round the sun, I have done a lot of stuff in my life. Okay, some good, some not so good. You know, but I've partied, I've traveled all around the world, I've watched my football team turn from serial losers into a relentless trophy-winning machine, okay, unstoppable, but I've yet to experience anything that brings me as much joy as knowing Jesus and sharing the good news of Jesus with others so that they can come and know him too. There's nothing that even comes close to that. What a privilege it is. What a joy to be able to do that, to know Jesus and invite others to come and know him too. That life doesn't get any better. So as I wrap up, I just want to ask you a question. Have you surrendered your life to Jesus so that his story is now your story? Have you? Or are you allowing your identity still to be shaped by your past? Have you allowed Jesus to make his story your story, or are you still living your old story instead? And are you filled with living water? Are you filled with the Holy Spirit so that others will recognize the presence of Jesus in you? If not, why don't you ask him? Why don't you ask him to fill you now as we pray? Because he will. He promises to do that. And then my third and final question is this: having been filled with that living water, will you be one who goes and shares the good news of Jesus with others? Or are you going to keep that living water to yourself? Please don't do that. As you're filled with that living water, go out into the world, into the places where God sends you this week. Reveal his love to others by the way that you serve them and that by the words that you say to them. Point them to Jesus, the only one who gives us that living water which wells up within us to eternal life. And then as we do that, let's be praying that those people we meet, those people we share with, may receive that living water too and drink deeply. Amen. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you that you have invited us into your story. You've made your story our story. Lord Jesus, we're sorry for all those times that we've kept the story to ourselves. We're sorry for those times, Lord, when we've chosen to believe our old story rather than your story. And right now, Lord, we surrender ourselves to you afresh. We give our lives, all of our lives, to you. And we want to go deeper into your story. And Father, we pray in the name of Jesus that you will fill us with your Holy Spirit, that living water, that it will well up within us to such an extent that everybody who we meet will recognize your presence in us, and that they will be thirsty for a drink they didn't even know existed. And Father, we ask for courage and for boldness to be those who joyfully share your story with others, that they may drink deeply from the well of life. And Lord, we ask that you would give us great joy as we do that, that you would bless us as we seek to be a blessing to others. For Jesus, we pray in your wonderful and mighty name. Amen.
Amen.